All right, we are live from the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, as we are each and every Friday afternoon. And we talk football, and we talk football from a bettor's standpoint, from a whatever you like to call it, a short-term investment broker standpoint, and none better than who we have between 4 and 5, and that's Todd Furman and Warren Sharp, both of DonBestAdvantage.com. And Warren's lighting it up over there as Todd and Kenny White give you all the information you need as well on Don Best Advantage. Now, I want to go to Texas A&M and Mississippi here, Todd. This is a game where we see Texas A&M not good defensively, and there's been a move up, and then there's a move down. So somebody's playing with this line, a move from four and a half to up to over the key number of 7 to 7.5. Now it's settled back to 5-6. We have Ole Miss losing one game to Alabama, which the wise guys, I guess, or what everybody's darling thought that they could cover, and Alabama smooched them like a grape. But Johnny Football did a big number on this team last year against Mississippi, but I'm not looking for him to do that so much this year. Can Ole Miss make this their season and do something that everybody's been expecting them to do all year?
Oh, this game will make me look like a genius or a joker one way or the other, having picked Ole Miss on just about every media appearance so far this week. I'm not going to switch off the Ole Miss bandwagon when nobody wants to be on there. I'm more than happy to be the one leading the charge. You look at Ole Miss and the fact that they dropped that game to Alabama, like you mentioned. They kind of went through the motions last week at Auburn. But if you dig into that box score, you see that Ole Miss actually was the better team. They were done in by a pick six and some miscues deep in Auburn territory. Knowing the Rebels have six straight home games to close out this season, followed up by a Starkville, you have to believe that Hugh Freeze will have the attention of his team and knows full well that if Ole Miss is going to be considered a viable force in the SEC West, these are the kind of games they have to win. I made the number of pick'em. There's only one way for me to bet it. It's taking those 6 points, and I'll also be investing on the money line here, especially if I can get plus 220, plus 230.
Oh, so you think Mississippi can win the game outright, huh?
I think the Rebels can take care of business. Their defense matches up extremely favorably with Johnny Manziel. You know, they're not the most powerful group, but they do have a ton of speed on the edge. And Texas A&M won't try and beat you between the tackles. As long as they can force Johnny to be one-dimensional and they can do their fair share of scoring, I think Ole Miss is going to have a great opportunity to win this game.
Well, Teddy Bridgewater did not have a great game on national TV last night, and maybe Johnny Manziel is ready for his comeuppance one of these days. But do you think Bridgewater played his way? I mean, it's almost like you have to play perfect every week to even be considered for the Heisman, which I think is a joke to be talking about it all year long. But he didn't really put up the numbers everybody thought he would yet last night.
No, Teddy struggled a little bit. And part of that's because the receiving core for Louisville, not all that deep. He didn't have Devontae Parker going into the game. They lost De La Cruz partway through. And you saw Teddy struggled to develop some chemistry with his wideouts. I think next week, though, on Friday night, a game that will be near and dear to some of the listeners, not too far away from Tampa and Orlando, I think Central Florida is going to give that Louisville team all they can handle and more. Would not be shocked if the Knights go into Papa John's Stadium and get that win outright. But we'll have to see where that number opens. I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about next Friday's show for that showdown next Friday.
Oh, yeah, you got that right. I'm looking forward to that matchup. All right, into the National Football League. We didn't quite get 28.5. With Denver over Jacksonville to be the all-time largest line. But I do believe they opened it in some places at 28, which got padded down right off the bat, sitting there somewhere around 26.5, 27. I mean, really, do we just look for over in this game? And you can't really. But Jacksonville one time went in there, but that was when they had decent quarterback play, went in and as a 14-point underdog and beat a Peyton Manning-led team before. But what do you do with this game? Everybody you know has won a piece of it, just a little bit.
There's one four-letter word that I'll use for this game, and it's not of the expletive variety. It's I mean, you look at this number and try and figure out what you're going to get. The reality of it is if Denver's focused for the full 60 minutes, they can name the final score, and I think that's part of the reason you've seen this total open at 48, which was way too low. And it's now sitting at 53. Really believe that'll push up even further. But there has been money on the dog. You have to believe that Denver's not going to have their starters out there for the full 60 minutes. Jacksonville may have that back door open for a lion's share of the game. And if the Jags can do anything offensively, this game should go flying over the total at 53. From a side perspective, I wasn't one of the guys running to grab 28. I don't believe in it being too good to pass up. And the fact that the general public is backing Jacksonville here still leaves me laughing at this point. Not really sure if they want to make the same mistake they did against the Seahawks, where Jacksonville wasn't close to covering that closing number of 19.5.
Well, good. I'm glad you talked some sense into some people, because that's all I was. Hey, should I take Jacksonville? You can't pay me with your money to bet Jacksonville on anything. All right, but we do have a couple of close ones this weekend. New England, New Orleans. Gronk has been downgraded again to questionable, so we don't know really whether they're playing games over there or not. We know that New Orleans is undefeated. New England's coming off of a loss to Cincinnati. How much does Gronk mean point-wise, and what do you see New England, New Orleans looking like this weekend?
With Gronk's at full speed, he's worth about a point and a half, which puts him towards the top end. You talk about a guy who's more or less an anomaly at his position in terms of being able to stretch the middle and gives the Patriots that red zone threat that they've so desperately lacked the last handful of games. This number opened at 1. It's been pushed out to about 2.5. Let's call it even 3 with juice if you want to try and take New Orleans here and grab the 3 points. The total is a more intriguing angle for me. 50, number out to 50.5. Neither one of these offenses wants to go out there and will do their best to try and score, but at the same time, I take that back. New Orleans will do everything they can to score, but the reality of it is, offensively, they have not lit the world on fire when they leave the Superdome. Rob Ryan's done a tremendous job getting this defense to play at a much higher level than we've seen in recent years, and really believe that if New England is going to win this football game, like the number tells you they will, it's going to be the first team to 24. I like New England when the number came out. I've grown a little bit more lukewarm on it. But I do think if this total climbs, especially to the key number of 51, maybe even a 52, that going under the total will be the angle to play. I don't anticipate nearly as many fireworks between these two teams in that Sunday afternoon primetime game like we saw last Sunday between Denver and Dallas.
All right, Todd Furman, that's Washington-Dallas. Dallas had, I think they poured their hearts out into that game last week against Denver. Really could have had it, and through, of course, the interception kind of turned that game around at the end. Do they have anything left in the tank to come out and play the Washington Redskins this weekend at home?
Their fans better hope they do, but I'm much like you, Steve. I really don't think they will. You look at this number and how it's ballooned out. I made the number 3 myself, typically just for home field advantage. These two divisional rivals have a history of playing such tight football games. We know how bad Dallas has been as a home favorite, and now that you're asking them to go out there and win by nearly a touchdown, I don't think they'll be able to duplicate what we saw against Denver. I think Washington gets healthier. They had some momentum with their win over Oakland before going into the bye week. Another week and a half for RG3 to repair that surgically done-up knee over the course of the offseason. I have a weird feeling the Redskins not only can find a way to cover this game, which I'll definitely grab the 6, but this game will come down to the bell, and we may be talking come Monday about a 2-3 Redskins team who has a great shot to become a division frontrunner if Tampa Bay can upset the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, I wouldn't bank on that, but I'll tell you, that's what caught my eye. And you can empty tanks in pros. They say they can pass it on and go to the next game, but I don't see Dallas coming out with any kind of fight in them after this past weekend, and that's why I put it out there for you, because that's exactly what I wanted to hear as well. Todd Furman, always a pleasure each and every Friday for you joining us, and we'll see you next week, my friend.
Sounds great. Hopefully Warren can hand out some more totals gold, and we'll go to the window with plenty of winners like we do every week on this show, Steve.
You got it, Todd. Have a safe flight. We'll be talking to you next Friday. All right, that was Todd Furman. We'll be back with Warren Sharp, sharpfootballanalysis.com, who hands out winners after winners after winners. Stay with us.